As you work your way to your seats, we have some announcements for you this morning. If you're ever wondering what's going on, you're like, I didn't hear that announced. That's why I try to give you a couple seconds after I tell you, hey, let's work our way to our seats. That way you can get to hear it. If you're a guest and this is your first time here, or maybe you've just started coming or watching online, we want to welcome you. We're glad to have you with us, to worship God with us, to connect with God to us. How's it going, dude? And if we have a couple points of information we'd like to get from you. There's a little circle in the back, a little welcome desk. And if you'd like to go back to, we have a couple questions. We'd like to get to know you, let you get to know us a little bit more. If you're online, there's a bit.ly link you can see right on the screen that would also do the same thing. So, but either way, we're just excited to have you here worshiping with us. It's always exciting to be worshiping God with other people, right? Connecting with God with other people. It's always exciting. So if you feel compelled to give this morning, there's a number of different ways you can give. There's boxes outside the sanctuary. You can give online at our website. You can give on our Church Center app. You can also give by mail. There's options for that. We have some exciting things coming up this coming week, August 19th. So that's tomorrow, okay? August 19th through the 25th is our annual Youth Week. There we go. I paused for effect. Thank you, ladies, for helping me. Appreciate it. Now, it's Youth Week, which means all week long there's going to be things going on. And let me just start by saying, if you are going into seventh grade and you want to be a part of Youth Week, you can. Just have your parents go into the app, or you can go into the app and request to join the youth group, which there's a little connection group in here. And when you get in there, man, you're going to see all the upcoming events. You're going to see the different members. There's a little chat group going on about Jedi. I don't even know what's going on there. But it's a lot of fun. But really what it is there's great information on there, right? So if you're just coming in, so maybe you're a parent like me that your oldest child is just coming into youth, so you don't know anything about how this app works or how to get your kid on the app or whatever, and they're just coming into seventh grade, you can find myself, you can find Brother Jordan, you can find Sister Abby. Somebody will help you figure out how to get on this app and get all the information. But let me just give you the high level of what's going on this week. Monday night, they're going out to escape rooms. You got to be at church at 5:30. Tuesday, here at the church, prayer and ice cream. Every student that shows up gets a gift card to Culver's. Wednesday is youth service. It's our senior night. Thursday is a fireside chat here at the church with food. Now, a lot of these have food, Jordan. Is that? Okay, just checking. Friday is the Move the Mission rally where everybody gets in some vehicles and heads out to Parkway or east of here. We're seeing where are we at, Parkway? Parkway. And it's a rally, Move the Mission, and it's a great time. There's a cost to that. It's $12 per student for the event and $5 for the pizza. And Saturday is the youth and parent dodgeball game where there will once again be food. And then Sunday is our youth service where Brother Jordan will be speaking. So we're excited about what God's going to do this week. Youth, it's going to be a great time. What we'd ask you, though, is in the app, we have all the information in there. All you got to do is log in, and then there's in the chat group, there's a Google form. It's essentially a survey. Click on that, parents, and fill that out. Say, yes, my child will be at these events, not at these events, and so on, so we can properly plan for the numbers that we have and what we need to do. So Youth Week this week, it's going to be great. Right, youth? Yeah. Okay. Just kidding. September 8th is our not annual, we do this twice a year, but our baby dedication. The baby dedication service takes place at 11 a.m. If you would like to dedicate your child to the Lord, please register right here. You can register right in the Church Center app, or just find me. Say, hey, I want to dedicate my child to the Lord. Pastor Phil usually would do that, but he's on vacation, well-deserved, hopefully having a lot of fun vacation. And so he's out on a boat in the middle of nowhere. And so find me. I'll make sure that you get signed up to dedicate your baby. There's QR codes in the lobby that you can also scan. Let's all stand this morning. It is exciting to see the things that are going on, the things we are doing, but also the things that God is doing in our lives. The growth that happens, the ministering that happens, right? And so we are here today. Let's focus on God today. Let's be led of him today with what we're doing. Let's leave aside the things of the week, whether it was good or whether it was bad. Let's leave aside how great this morning getting ready or getting up was. Let's be present in this moment and focus on Jesus. Let's be led of him this morning. Led to, God, what are you trying to speak into my life What do you want me to hear from you today? And you will if our hearts are open, whether it's in the worship or in the speaking, right? So let's just pray that God has his way. God, thank you, Father, for everything you've done. God, we know you are here in this place, that your spirit is moving and it's speaking. God, Lord, help us to have open ears to hear what you have. Help us to have an open mind, God, to understand it, God. Lord, let us be good soil that your word could plant and bring forth fruit in our life, God. Lord, we focus on you today and we leave this week. We leave this morning, God. Let there be less of you, less of us and more of you in this place, in this service, God. Let your anointing flow in Jesus' name. Amen. Worship with us this morning.
Walls fall down as I'm running. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day Church, there's such a sweet, sweet, powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today, and it is just so good to be here. And I want to thank our worship team, Sister Abby and the Thompson sisters. so great to. If you're a guest of ours today, it's such an honor to have you worshiping here with us. We have a lot of folks in the house today, guests, and it's just so great to have you here. You could be seated this morning. This is my first service preaching in 7 weeks. And some of you may wonder if we had a pastor. I had some ankle reconstruction surgery, and I just want to tell you, if you ever think about having that done, think really long and hard. They said, "Oh, it's just you know, it won't be that bad, you know. We're gonna send you home, and you're gonna have pain block and all this and that." And 10 weeks is a long haul, but we'll get our boot off 1st of September. I can drive again the 1st of September. My wife won't have to chauffeur me around. But thank you for all your prayers and the cards and the snacks and the meals and the patience that you've manifested and possessed over the last 7 weeks. I want to thank our pastoral staff as well for filling in. They have done a tremendous job. And we have a great pastoral staff here. Brother Peter did a phenomenal job this morning preaching. It was supposed to be Sister Jess's Sunday morning to preach, and she has a tooth that she's given her some fits, and she asked if I would fill in, and I was more than happy to, because I'm ready to get this first message under my belt here after a little bit of a time off. So I just want everyone to just look at your clock and turn it back about 30 minutes. I'm just messing with you. Wednesday evening, we had Brother Sante Jimenez here, and he is our outgoing home missionary to the Miami, Florida metro area, and he did a tremendous job speaking. It was kind of a spur of the moment. Some of his schedule got canceled, and we kind of worked some things in and such, so he was here. But if you would like to take and give an offering to that work there in the Miami metro area through our North American missions, feel free to go ahead and just send that in to our Calvary Gospel Church and just put Miami missions, and we'll make sure that it gets there. Sister Jessica will get all of that taken care of for you. So we're going to get right into our lesson today, or our message today, and not for sure exactly if this is going to be preaching, teaching, how we're going to end up here, but I've got about a 30-minute time limit on my foot here, so we're going to get this done. But it's been a long, it just seems like it's already, I just have a hard time believing. You're seeing school buses out practicing their routes, and some schools start tomorrow already, and we're long past the halfway mark of 2024. sometime in June is our halfway mark. We're through June. We're through July. We're almost through August. And just in a few weeks, we're going to be looking at Labor Day. And this last past Wednesday night, and I don't know how you are sometimes, my schedule has been all messed up over the last 7 weeks, it's well past midnight, and I can't sleep, and to be honest with you, I really didn't care because it's like it doesn't matter if I go to bed at 1 o'clock or I go to sleep at 3 o'clock because it's not like when I get up in the morning that somebody's waiting on me to do something. That's part of recuperating from surgeries and such. So I got up and I was struggling because I was tired and I wanted to sleep, but I couldn't sleep. So I got up and I tried doing some exercises. And you're like, yeah, okay. I'm laying there on the floor trying to do these exercises. I'm like, yeah, I'm really not into this. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And it lasted about 3 minutes or so, and I got up, and I went in the kitchen, and I dug through the pantry, and I found some popcorn, and I popped some Orville Redenbacher, is that what it's called? Popcorn, the buttery stuff that's got the good flavor. If you're going to have popcorn, you're going to have to just go all out on it, and so Brother Norman, I popped me some popcorn, and that wasn't enough, so I saw a banana sitting on a counter, and I ate a banana, got some juice out of the refrigerator, went down to my office. It's by now, it's 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I turned my computer on, and I just started typing. And this is what God just kind of laid on my heart. So many times, church, this is not just for this church. This was for everyone here because we're all part of the kingdom of God and we're all connected in one way or another. But so many times we finish or we start off strong. And as the year goes on, life begins to hit us, things happen, health issues, job issues, family issues, car issues, ankle issues, whatever it may be, and we begin to wane. So I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about finishing the fight, finishing strong in 2024. So as people tend to start off strong, and then as we go along, the days become weeks, and weeks become months, and before we know it, most of our year is gone. And more often than not, we look at that between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we just kind of coast our way to the finish line. So in order to finish strong, in order to take and complete the task that God has given us, in order to finish this fight that we are in, there are some things that we have to stop doing, and there are some things that we have to continue to do, or maybe perhaps in your case today, start doing. So I'm going to dig right into this. Do you know what impresses God the most? Brother Peter did a series this morning. Our Bible lesson was on spiritual gifts. And the last spiritual gifts on the interpretation of tongues and the gift of tongues and the prophecy of prophetic. Does that impress God because you have a gift of prophecy? Do you think that impresses God? Do you think it impresses God because you have the gift of tongues or interpretation? These are probably, I'm just throwing a little bit in here, these are probably three of the most misused gifts of all of them. We're going to get into that in another series here coming up. But what is it that impresses God the most when God looks down at you and he sees you sitting here today? What is it, Brother Ty, that impresses God the most about you? I want you to ask that question to yourself because I've got an answer for you. What impresses God the most and what makes a difference to God. What makes a big difference to him is whether you are a doer of the word or a hearer of the word. Right now, we are all hearing the word. We're all sitting here and we are listening to the word as it goes forth. We are all hearers of the word, but what God is impressed by the most is when you leave these four walls and you walk out of here and you begin to do what you have heard. Church, we need to be a church of doers. There's enough people that just hear the word. There's enough people that listen to podcasts and CDs and all kinds of video recordings and such on the word and how to live and how to do and this, that, and the other, but very few people take those podcasts and actually begin to live them out in their everyday lives. Romans, Paul talks to us in Romans chapter 2 verse 13 in the Message, and it says, merely hearing God's word. Listen to this. This is Paul talking under the influence and the anointment of the Holy Ghost. He says, merely hearing God's law is a waste of your time. Sitting here listening to me preach today is a waste of your time if you don't do what it commands. Doing, not hearing, is what makes the difference with God. God is impressed by what we actually do, not what we intend to do. There's an old saying down south, you know, get around to it. Got to get around to it. Got to get there. Got to get around to it. Spent the summer, Johnny and I, when we were younger, spent the summer with my grandma and grandpas. It was something that was kind of a little bit of a culture shock for us, because we had lived up here in Wisconsin for 7-8 years or so, and we go back to Texas, and we hadn't spent that much time. We spent 3 months, and in 3 months, my grandpa, my papa Emery, was always going to fixin' to go somewhere. We got to go into town today? Yeah, we're fixing to go. Well, what does fixing to go mean? Monday, we're going to go to town. Tuesday, we're going to go to town. Wednesday, we're fixing to get to town. But we can't get to town because we got to go to church. But church is in town. Always fixing to do something. Always going to do something. I understand my grandpa had worked a hard life as a welder in a shipyard and all other kinds of thing. He was retired, and the last thing he wanted to do is to run a 12-year-old and a 13 or 14-year-old around all day long, keeping them busy. But he was fixing to. God is impressed by what we actually do than what we say we're always going to fixing to do. Do we want God's approval? James 2:24 in God's Word translation says, you see that a person receives God's approval because of what he does, not only because of what he believes. You see, we receive God's approval by doing what he says in his word. Genesis 39:22 says, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was a doer of it. We have Joseph that was taken from his home. He was sold into slavery, and he ends up in Egypt, and he's sold in Egypt into slavery, and he ends up being falsely accused of a crime, and he ends up in an Egyptian prison. And here we have Joseph. Everything he did, everything he said he was going to do, he did. So you want to move from a prison. Maybe you're here today and you're in a prison of mediocrity, and you want to move out of that prison of mediocrity to into a freedom that God can give to you. Then you have to do something instead of talking about something. You see, Joseph was a dreamer, but his destiny manifested because of what he did. If we become known as the go-to person in your workplace, wherever you live, wherever you work, if you become known as the go-to person in the workplace, then doors of opportunity are going to open for you. You know, sometimes we have to actually do something. This is a little plug. If you're struggling in your job and you haven't got a raise in a while, maybe it's because you haven't taken and done anything worth getting a raise for. That's really hard, isn't it? But you see, sometimes we just sit around and wait for reward. God's word says it doesn't work that way. Joseph was a doer in the house of his master. When he was thrown into prison, he was a doer and in the prison, and it opened doors for him to escape into his destiny. When we listen, we obey and act on his word, God will bless and reward us, because that is what his word says, and God always does what his word says he will do. We look at James 1:25, and it says, "But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." Next is, we not just have to be a doer, we have to be a doer of the word, and there's a powerful reason why confession. These are some things that just as I begin to type things out, God just began to deal with me on. There's a powerful reason why confession is good for the soul. You ever heard that statement? Confession is good for the soul. It's more than just an old saying. Understand that it's a spiritual truth, and it's a scriptural directive when we are talking with God. I want to say the word confession, we talk a lot about confessing, but actually we're talking about repentance. Repentance, confession is good for the soul. Repentance is good for the soul. I think this is a problem that the church struggles with today, probably more than anything else. Because we allow all of these other things. Well, Lord, I'm doing good. By the end of the day, we forget what we've done wrong. We forget those attitudes. Paul says, I die daily. I repent every day. The sun doesn't set. The Bible talks about not letting the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the sun go down without repentance. Don't let the sun go. Don't go to bed angry. Go to bed repentant. Confess our sins and ask for God's forgiveness. When we're in deep trouble, it's for now and eternity. So, church, if we're going to finish strong in 2024, repentance or confession is something we have to do every day. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins... This is a key right here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he will forgive us of all our unrighteousness. In order for us to be unrighteous, at one time we had to have been righteous. So that lets us know that we can be righteous and we can have boo-boos and we can become unrighteous. But how do we get back to the righteous side of the equation? We confess our sins. We repent. We repent. That's the first step. Notice that in salvation. Acts 2, when you read in the process of Acts 2, verse 38, it doesn't say get the Holy Ghost and then get baptized and then repent. The first thing we got to do, Pastor Peter, is we got to clean up the mess that's inside our hearts. God says, you know what? I'm not going to dwell in a dirty house. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is faithful. The Amplified translation of 1 John 1:19, it says, if we freely admit, I'm going to pause right there. That's our biggest problem most of the time. We don't want to admit. We don't like to admit that we are wrong. We don't like to admit that maybe we said something we shouldn't have said. We don't like to admit that we have sinned, and it's even harder to confess our sin. But if we freely admit it, if it doesn't have to be drug out of us, God's not going to stand over you with his foot to your neck and reach down and take and grab your tongue and drag it out of you. We have to freely admit we have sinned and confess our sins, and he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continually cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everything not in conformity to his will and purpose, thought and action. Yet sadly today, so many of us Christians, we have difficulty confessing our sins simply because, hear me, we refuse to take responsibility for our actions. Our whole world is suffering with this today. Nobody wants to be responsible for their actions anymore. It's always somebody else's fault. If you blame someone else for your problems, then you'll never become what God intends. If we're going to finish strong this year, we have to be able to say, God, forgive me. We have to be able to confess our sins. If we're going to finish strong this year, we must expect good things from God. From the moment we wake up in the morning, we need to expect a supernatural move of God in our lives. We sing the songs. We had a beautiful worship service today, and we sang some beautiful songs. But God doesn't intend for that to just be here at church. Did you know that? God wants us to wake up every morning. Those nights when you can't sleep and you're frustrated, instead of going out and just having a fit like I was, I was struggling to refrain from having. You know what? I'm just going to throw this out there just for extra. The hardest thing in the world is to be thankful in all things. I mean, I'm laying in bed, Brother Bunker, and my ankle is, I mean, I got a cut in my calf. They cut into my leg and moved some tendons and had to reset it with some screws and went into my leg and my ankle and cut it all up and reset it. And I'm laying there, and that pain block wore off and the pain meds wasn't working, and I'm just like unbelievable. And I'm laying there, and I'm just thinking to myself, how in the world? And in my right mind, how can I say, God, I'm thankful for this? Thank you, Lord. I struggled with that. But, you know, God began to work on me, began to break me down. So the pastor that you had that went into this isn't the same pastor you had coming out of this. God uses things like this. He's using things in your life right now to shape you, to mold you, to change you. We have got to take and expect good things from God. Psalms 5:3 in the NIV says, in the morning, O Lord. It doesn't say in the morning, O Lord, I hear your voice. It says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait in expectation. Psalm 62:5 almost mirrors this same thought. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Church, we begin today, each day, filled with a supernatural expectation about the manifestation of God's presence, a supernatural expectation about the manifestation of God's peace, God's protection, God's promises, God's power, God's promotion, and God's provision. These are things that when we wake up, Sister Claudia, every morning, we need to, in some way, shape, or form, expect God's presence in our life. We need to expect his peace. We need to expect his protection, his promises, his power, his promotion, and his provision. If we begin our day with supernatural expectations, we will never be disappointed. Jeremiah 29:13 in the Message says, when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. You see, God's decrees, I will turn things around for you. You can count on it. So church, if we want to finish strong in 2024, we want to win this fight, we must be expectant. If we want to finish strong, we also must never stop loving. Never stop loving. You see, there are three people that you need to love. First of all, you need to love God. And I understand God's not a people. He's not a person. But we need to love God. If I were to ask you if you love God today, almost everyone here would say, well, absolutely. Do you love him with your whole heart? Oh, absolutely. You think about that. The real question is whether or not God would say that you love him with your whole heart. Begin to think about that when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, you know, talked about greatest commandments and love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your might. Thinking about that, loving God with all your might, what does that even mean? Well, I could take with all of my might. I probably couldn't pick it up, but I know I could hit this podium right here hard enough to knock it right down at Larry's feet. I know if I got Brother Repka up here, between the two of us, we could probably pick this thing up. And we had a couple of you other guys up in here, and we could take this thing and get it above our heads, and we could walk it out and toss it into the parking lot if we saw all of our might. What does that mean to say I love the Lord with all of my might? Like you're bench pressing 350 pounds and it's just like, that's how much I love God. I haven't yet figured that equation out. But I know that what I want is not to say how much do I love God, but I want my Lord to look at me and say, this is how much you love me. I want to love him absolutely with my whole heart. God uses a very simple test to determine the extent in which we love him. This was brought up recently in one of our Bible lessons. John 14:15. If you love me, will you keep my commandments? Brother Jerry, that's a tough one. If you love me, will you obey what is in my word? We like to say, thy word that I've hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. If you love me, will you obey? God's criteria for whether or not we love him with our whole heart is based upon whether or not we obey his instructions. God's more interested in our actions than our words. So, three things we must never stop loving. Never stop loving God. Never stop loving yourself. It's been said by someone that if you don't love yourself, no one else will. I know there's a debate. You could debate the spiritual implications of this statement, but I think it's important to love yourself, seeing that Jesus said that no man yet hath hated himself. I think there needs to be that there's nothing wrong with taking a little bit of pride in ourselves. I'm not talking about bad pride. Talking about good pride. Good pride basically means the pride that when you are going for a job interview, you want to make sure that you are dressed and you look appropriately. Nothing wrong with when someone's coming over to your home that you clean your house and you're ready for them to come. That's a pride. You want to put on your best. So, the third, I'm running out of time here, is we have to love everybody else. I've often wondered how often should God have to tell us something in order for us to really get it and live it. The answer should be really only once. But God tells us something at least six times, and he definitely wants us to get it and to live it. In Matthew 19:19, he says, "Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." He says in Matthew 22:39, "And second as it is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Mark 12:31, "Second is like unto this, that love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these." Jesus goes on and on into Galatians for the whole law and concerning human relationships is you love your neighbor as yourself. And James 2:8 says you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the bottom line is, if you love your neighbor as yourself, then it's important for you to love yourself. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, "If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done." You see, if you have to plant a seed before you can ever see a harvest. And we're going to have our musicians come at this time. And I want to finish with one last point here. The next thing, if we want to finish strong in 2024, is we have to be able to move out of our comfort zones. This is something that over the last few weeks, as your pastor, you know, it's pretty easy to get in a comfort zone. It's pretty easy to get caught up in the weekly routines of a church. You see, our comfort zone, church, is an enemy of our future. It's a hindrance to our success, and it's a stumbling block to our destiny. If we stay in our comfort zones, listen to this. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care. This is something that applies to every aspect of your life. If we stay in our comfort zones, then we will never surpass our current reality. You'll never surpass where you are right now. You will never go any further in life if you stay where you are. If you're working the same job, in the same position that you were 10 years ago, you have to realize sometimes why you are where you are. These are questions we have to ask ourselves. I'm in a comfort zone. I want to get out of this comfort zone. Why do we do this? Work the same. I'm not saying it's wrong working the same job, but the same position. You're still paying off the same credit cards that you were paying off a decade ago. And listen, sometimes we have to just stop and we have to just do a self-examination on our part. We have to look and say, what am I doing wrong? Why am I not succeeding when I see others around me succeeding? You see, we can't become what we want to by remaining where we are. As a church, as an individual, as a family, you got to know why you are where you are. You got to figure out what's the culprit, what's the reason behind this. Is it a fear? Is it fear? And we have to let go of whatever it is that may be holding us back. If we don't face our fears, they will keep growing. If you have fears in your life today, maybe God's calling you into ministry and you are absolutely petrified to stand behind a podium and address people. I hated this. If you would have asked me a few decades ago, maybe 20 years ago, 10 years ago, I would have told you, nope, that's not for me. That's my dad's job. That's Bishop's job. I'll work behind the scenes, but maybe God is preparing you behind the scenes so he can move you up. You have to face your fears, or they're going to keep growing. If we don't face what we perceive as our inadequacies, then they will end up just becoming magnified in our lives. We can stand. In order to take and get out of these comfort zones, we must always be willing to try something new. You see, there's nothing wrong with habits. We can have bad habits, and we can have good habits. Good habits will move us up and out, and bad habits will bring us down. Negative habits will breed negative consequences, and successful habits will create successful rewards. And church, none of this will happen unless we stay motivated. We have to be motivated. We want to get out of our comfort zones. We want to become doers and not hearers. We have to be motivated. We have to love what we're doing. We have to want to do what we're doing. So today, maybe you're here and you are just, if you're like me, you just sometimes have to just turn off all of that electronic entertainment. I was talking to a brother. I don't want to just be one of those guys that just never listens to the news and has no idea what's going on in the world. I think that's partly our responsibility. But I don't want to get so caught up in news and news media that everything else just becomes about politics and becomes about what's going on. Brother Bronker, I can't change one thing. If God says this is what's going to happen, it's going to happen. We get all worked up sometimes about one world government and Antichrist and all this kind of stuff. Listen, God says it's going to happen. You ain't going to stop it. No matter how many times you vote and how you vote, God says it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Stop worrying about it. Stop being distracted by it. Let's get about the Father's business. Let's reach as many people as we can reach. Let's finish strong. Political podcasts, social media can all be distractions. Let's place our efforts toward building God's kingdom. Something that we can see everlasting, eternal results. I was at a restaurant the other day, and my word, football started already. Some of you are probably all excited about it, but you know what? I don't really care. I don't care if the Badgers win or lose this season. I don't care what the Packers' record is. I don't care what the Bucks, or I don't care what the Brewers. Doesn't matter to me any of that. What matters to me is how productive am I being for the kingdom of God. I want to say goodbye to my comfort zones. And I want to start living in the kingdom zone. Can we agree to that today? Let's step out of the comfort zones of our lives and let's step into the kingdom zone. Focus on where and how we're going to spend today rather than where we were yesterday. And church, our future is in front of us. I believe wholeheartedly that the greatest hour of this church is yet to be lived. So as we finish this day out, I'm just going to open up this altar this morning. Invite you to come down. Say, God, I want to step in. I want to finish strong in 2024. I want to, whatever fight maybe you're in right now, whether it's a health fight, whether it's a financial fight, whether it's a marriage, family, I want to finish this. I want to finish strong. God bless you.